Romans 3, 9 to 20. There is no one righteous, not even one. Today's teaching will be a little bit different than usual, so I ask you to open your hearts to the Lord today. Let's pray and prepare our hearts to hear the word of the Lord today. Father, we ask you to give us your wisdom and your life from the study of in the word today, and may the glory of Christ be revealed through the sharing of his word. Meditation question. Are the Jews better than non-Jews? Are Christians better than non-Christians? How did Paul answer these questions in verses 9 to 18? So verse 9, what then? Are we better than they? Not at all, Paul says, for we have already made the charge that Jews and Greeks alike are all under sin. Paul continues his answer and rebuke to Jewish critics who rejected the idea that Jews and Gentiles are equally sinful and will face God's judgment. They assumed that the Jews were more righteous than non-Jews. However, Paul rejected this assumption and proceeded to explain that Jews are no better than non-Jews because they are all controlled by sin. Paul blasts the idea with a flurry of Old Testament scriptures to support his position, beginning with verses 10 to 12. As it is written, verse 10, there is no one righteous, not even one. This is a very powerful verse. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have turned away and have come and become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. Meditation question. How does Paul describe the sinfulness of mankind in verses 9 to 14? Verse 10 summarizes the point and theme of Romans chapters 1 to 3. There is no one righteous, not one. We are all under sin. The sin nature controls us. Verses 10 to 12 are quotations from Psalm 14, 1 to 3. It says, verse 1, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are all corrupt. Their deeds are vile. There is no one who does good. So Paul's quoting this passage from Psalms. Verse 2, the Lord looks down from heaven on all mankind to see if there's any who understand, any who seek God. Verse 3, all have turned away, all have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. No one is righteous. All human beings have sinned and broken God's laws. We have all denied God's rule and authority. We have all turned away from him and done as we pleased. Jews who accepted the authority of the Old Testament scriptures could not refute what is so plainly written in Psalm 143:3. All have turned away, all have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. Verses 13 and 14 describe how sin has corrupted our words. Let's read verse 13. It says, their throats are open graves, their tongues practice deceit. The venom of vipers is on their lips. This is a quotation from Psalm 5, verse 9, and Psalm 140, verse 3, which say, not a word from their mouth can be trusted. Their heart is filled with malice. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues, they tell lies. And Psalm 519, that's Psalm 519. And then Psalm 140, verse 3 says, they make their tongues as sharp as serpents. The poison of vipers is on their lips. People lie and hurt others with their words. Their words are like the poison of a snake bite. Verse 14 says, their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. This is a quotation from Psalm 10, verse 7, which says, his mouth is full of lies and threats. Trouble and evil are under his tongue. If we watch an average television program or movie for 5 minutes, we can see the truth of verse 14. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness, lies and evil. Now, I'm going to give you a little bonus message here about words. I'm going to divert from this passage a bit and share my thoughts about cursing and foul language. In recent times, some pastors and leaders have come up with contorted reasoning to justify the worst of cursing and dirty language. I'm 1,000% against this and will list my reasons below. and ask you to open your heart and consider what I'm saying. 10 reasons you should not curse. Number one, the Bible tells us in multiple places not to use foul language. Ephesians 5, verses 3 and 4 is one example. But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. Number two, our words are powerful. They will produce either life or death. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat its fruit. Number three, our tongue controls our direction in life. It can defile us and destroy us. James 3:4-6. Look at the ships. Although they are so large, they're driven by fierce winds, and are driven by fierce winds, they're turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how a great forest, a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among the members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it itself is set on fire by hell. Reason number four, pure water and salt water cannot come out of the same spring. Our whole life will be polluted if we speak words of cursing from our flesh. James 3, verses 10 to 12. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. Brethren, these things ought not to be. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter water out of the same opening? Verse 12, can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, and a grape or a grape vine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh water. Reason number five, the words we speak express what is in our hearts. Matthew 15:18. Those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. Reason number six, you will be judged by the words you speak. Matthew 12:34-36. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Verse 35, a good man out of a good heart, a good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account. They will give an account of it on the day of judgment. Number seven, you are a model. If you curse, swear, and use foul language, be sure your kids and people you influence will do the same. It is a serious thing to cause others to stumble. Matthew 18, verse 6. If anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a huge millstone hung around their neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. Reason number eight, we are commanded to build up others with our words. Ephesians 4:29. Do not let any wholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for the building up of others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Number nine, our words should bring healing, not hurt. Proverbs 16:24. Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the body. And number 10, our goal should be to please the Lord in all that we say. Psalm 19, verse 14. May these words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. I'm saying that I think followers of Jesus should understand and think deeply about the power, potential, and problem of the words that we speak. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. I will not compile a list of bad words that people should not use, but I may still be accused of being legalistic. I think, however, this is not a matter of being legalistic, but a matter of being wise. The main thing is to seek and to honor the Lord and please the Lord in everything we say. Now let's read verses 15 to 18, which are the last part of this section. Verse 15, their feet are swift to shed blood. 16, ruin and misery lie in their wake, and the way of peace they have not known. In verse 18, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Meditation question. How does Paul describe the sinfulness of mankind in verses 15 to 18? Verses 15 to 17 are a quotation from Isaiah 59, 7 to 8, which say their feet rush into sin, they are swift to shed innocent blood, they pursue evil schemes, acts of violence mark their ways. Verse 8 of Isaiah 59. The way of peace they do not know. There is no justice in their paths. These verses describe the chaotic and destructive lives of people living in sin. Their lives are broken and dark. Some people commit murder without regret. They ruin their own lives and the lives of their family and the lives of others whom they come into contact with. They do not have a life of peace and happiness, but of death and destruction. Verse 18, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Verse 18 says, there's no fear of God before their eyes. This is a quote from Psalm 36:1, which contrasts people who do not fear the Lord with those who do. Honoring and fearing the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. People who are ruled by sin deny and dishonor God, and their lives are filled with despair. The psalm writer said concerning the people who take refuge in God, verse 8, they feast on the abundance of your house. You give them to drink from the river of delights, for with you is a fountain of life, and in your light we see light. What a wonderful description of the life we have through the grace of God in Christ. The Jews were no better than the Gentiles because we are all sinners and lost without Christ. And we are no better or more righteous apart from Christ than non-believers. As it is written, there is no one righteous, not even one. This verse should be very sobering for us. We have been made righteous in Christ, which is the subject of the following sections in Romans 3. However, we are not better or more righteous than non-Christians and are not in a position to look down on anyone else. Let's pray. Lord, we confess that we are not righteous apart from Jesus. We are not righteous in ourselves, but only through the cross of Christ. And we ask you that you will be our wisdom and teach us daily to speak words that please you, and may the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be pleasing to you, be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen.